how do you go about creating a community health center with a different approach to treating pain? Joseph Perley, Carl Hake, and Richard Lillard can tell you how in this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information on the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Doctors Perley, Hake, and Lillard are associated with the Community Health Center of Central Missouri, based in Jefferson City. In a visit to Kansas City, they described their approach to treating pain. Okay, so Joe, let's start with talking about your organization, the Missouri Primary Care Association.
Yes.
And what you decided, how did you come to decide to work around this issue of pain and develop the community health center that you did in Jefferson City, Missouri?
Sure. So the association is a statewide association of community health centers. There's 22 community health centers that operate about 150 locations around the state. And we serve 400,000 Missourians annually. And most of these folks are low income. They're either uninsured or on Medicaid. And we focus primarily on the provision of primary care services, so primary medical, dental, behavioral health services. But one of the major reasons that patients come to us is because they're in pain. So we are currently exploring the idea of launching a statewide patient-centered pain care initiative that would be comprised of several components around research to make sure that our outcomes are quality outcomes, that we're improving the quality of life for our patients. But we also want to get into replicating a model that you'll hear about here in a second that's being implemented at the Community Health Center of Central Missouri, which is an integrated approach to pain care, coupling primary care physicians with pain medicine and behavioral health services. Because patients that come to us don't typically come for one reason. They have medical issues. They're in pain. They have dental issues. They have behavioral health issues. So really trying to be a healthcare home and serve all of their needs.
Did the Institute of Medicine report on pain in June of 2011, did that help launch the idea or launch the effort, or has this been going for some time? Dr. Hake, you were shaking your head, indicating that you've been working on this for a while, I guess.
Yeah, we started this in November of 2009, so before the Institute of Medicine report. I had not even really heard about it. I was just working away and doing my job the best way I could, and then I became aware of the Institute of Medicine report. I read it, and I thought, this is exactly what we're doing, what they're telling people to implement. We are already doing it, and we've been doing it for a year and a half or 2 years or whatever it was. And so that really validated Dr. Lillard and myself, what our goals were for the program and also the health center itself, what it wanted to do, what we wanted to accomplish in treating patients. So we were very happy to see the Institute of Medicine report because
it felt like a validation of things.
Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly. So we have changed some of our terminology and some of our language to more closely tie into that, so that other physicians, other healthcare providers can kind of see what we're doing.
Sure. Well, Dr. Lillard, one of the things that they talk about in the Institute of Medicine report is the idea of integrated approach.
Sure.
And that there's more than giving a shot or giving a pill when it comes to treating pain, and you as a psychologist get into that aspect of it. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, I think what Dr. Hake and I have both realized in treating a lot of this population is that pain is pain. Our body doesn't necessarily separate the different types of pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain, physical pain. And people tend to find what they think would be the quickest fix, the quickest cause that they can point to as the root cause of their pain. And most of the cases we find that in addition to whatever physical ailment they have, there's also some psychological or emotional thing that they're struggling with. And so we try to recognize that you may be misattributing causality. There may be this emotional pain may be just as big of a, just as significant a factor in your suffering as is the physical.
You were mentioning Dr. Hake in your remarks this morning at a meeting in Kansas City, talking about putting together an endeavor called Relieving Pain Kansas City, based on the IOM report, that you take a little bit of a different approach, and some people are surprised about that, and that you basically ask them questions that they've never been asked before in a medical setting.
That's right. historically, when patients go to the doctor, they're going for a specific reason, and that doctor or physician is there to fix that particular problem. At the primary care level, primary care physicians are supposed to be asking questions about their family history, because there's a long-term management of whatever problems they may have. And so we've kind of taken that approach in treating pain, where we take the time to ask them questions, why they're there, look at their history, see if there's some other issue that could be contributing to the patient's pain. We know they're in pain. We know they're experiencing pain. We know that they perceive pain. But our goal is to get a better understanding of their pain. And if you go to a physician and you have an MRI that shows some problem, that can easily be fixed, and that's easy to do. But we see patients who they've already done that, and their pain is no better. And so that, to me, says that there's other factors causing their pain or contributing to their pain that need to be addressed. And so we really try to focus on those factors. It may be a psychological problem. It may be a physical problem. They could be overweight. They could have diabetes, hypertension, smoke, all those things that are primary care issues that need to be effectively addressed in order to make them better. We oftentimes will tell the patients that we can help your pain if you are physically fit, mentally fit. You are taking an active role in making yourself better. If you don't want to do all those things, we're going to have a very difficult time getting your pain better.
Well, Joe, why what the Dr. Hake describes, why is that hard, and I hate to use the word typical, but why is that a hard approach to take within a typical medical practice?
I guess what differentiates what Dr. Hake and Lillard are doing is we can provide all these services under one roof, and it's not cost-effective for many typical medical practice to be able to provide all of these services under one roof. But the way we're structured and the way we operate, we're able to do it effectively and efficiently.
Well, then, Dr. Lillard, how do your patients react to this, that they're able to have a broader set of options whenever it comes to treating their pain?
Well, I would reason that my experience is they feel much better cared for. Their care is much more comprehensive, that it's not just a referral they're receiving. It's a personal recommendation based on the relationships that exist between the providers, because we do have primary care under the same roof with pain management, with dental, with behavioral health. And that, you know, research tends to show, especially if a referral's been made to behavioral health, a lot of times, like 95% in some cases, don't follow through on that outside referral. And here, the way we've established our program, Dr. Hake and myself, it's I pop into his sessions. There's an immediate contact while they're in the office, so that the ice is broken before we ever have an official appointment. And I think it just really does add to that sense of collaboration. They really feel like their needs are being addressed in areas they didn't even conceive of when they came in for their appointment.
So this seems to be a model that works in Jefferson City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that, and I don't know who to address this question to, maybe you, Joe, you look like the guy with the target on your back for a question like this. How are you able to take this to a national level and have this model work in areas outside of Jefferson City, Missouri?
Yeah, before we go national, and even I think before we go statewide, we want to do the research, and we need to prove from a business perspective that this can be done efficiently and effectively at the primary care setting. So that is one of our goals over the next couple months, to prove that the business case is there to make this happen. The next stage, we think, then, is within our network of community health centers to train and educate the primary care providers within that network on how to deal with patients with pain, but also to build capacity in other community health centers such as Kansas City or St. Louis or Springfield. So that's our goal. But we feel like we got to do the research, and then the next step is the training and the replication of that model out of Jefferson City.
And Dr. Hake, you were mentioning this morning about how the MRI and just doing a shot quickly to get a patient out of the office, reimbursement issues there. It's easier to get reimbursement and probably more reimbursement for that than it is for other approaches to treating pain. And that's a difficult issue, isn't it?
It's a very difficult issue because oftentimes medical practices are driven by the bottom line. They are businesses. They're for-profit businesses. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. That's the way that medicine is geared in many cases. But what we want to show is that over the long term, doing it the way we're doing it, there may be some upfront cost or there may be some added costs that aren't there right now. But long term, it's going to reduce the cost to third-party payers, to the federal government, to the state government. And so that is our ultimate goal, is to show that not only is this making patients better, that their quality of life is better, but that it's also saving healthcare dollars, which are getting fewer and far between right now with the skyrocketing costs of healthcare. So chronic pain is a significant drain on the healthcare system, healthcare dollars that are available, and our ultimate goal is to show that we can make patients better and save money over the long term.
A final question for each one of you. You're in Kansas City today around the issue of relieving pain in Kansas City, acting on the IOM report on pain. What about a reason for hope? Is there a reason for optimism? Dr. Lillard?
I mean, I think that goes without saying. Just the fact that without even knowing the IOM report existed, we developed this pain clinic approach that indoctrinates almost every principle of it. The common sense of the way to treat chronic pain, I think there's almost limitless reason for hope as you look at this. It just depends on getting those relationships established and then changing the paradigm of each one of these disciplines of between behavioral health, primary care, and pain management to recognize there's room for collaboration. There's enough pieces of this to go around where everybody can work better, and then the patients do better. We're not catching them on the second cycle through the pain management process. We're catching them on the first.
Joe Perley, a reason for optimism.
Yeah, my sense is the thought process to date around pain is that it's something that we've all wanted to avoid. Patients themselves who are in pain want to do everything they can to avoid pain. Policymakers have avoided dealing with pain, and thought leaders in general, I think, have tried to avoid this issue. But now with the IOM report and Myra's leadership, we're very hopeful that now policymakers, patients, and communities are going to be more aware of pain issues, and that will help us come up with solutions to address it.
Dr. Hake, your thoughts on optimism.
Well, the biggest piece of optimism I can give is an example of a patient who comes to me, and they say to me, "You're the first person that's asked me these questions. You're the first person that's addressed these things to me. You're the first person that's taken time to deal with these issues that I have." That gives me a tremendous amount of hope, and because I am now getting into the real cause of why they're there seeing a physician. And then when they communicate that to me, they take a more active role in their healthcare, and that makes them better. If we can make patients more active in their healthcare, that's what gives me hope that this is going to work and that we can relieve pain, because it ultimately starts with the patient. They need to take an active role in making themselves better. I tell this to patients all the time. I can do injections. I can give you medication. I can do whatever it takes. But you have to be the one that wants to get better and wants to take an active role in getting better. And when I have a patient that tells me that, and I get that all the time, that gives me a tremendous amount of hope that it is possible. You can make people better.
Doctors Joseph Perley, Carl Hake, and Richard Lillard are with the Community Health Center of Central Missouri, based in Jefferson City. I'm Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.